Welcome to Leafing Out, a podcast about gardening. I'm Gabe.
And I'm Rebecca. And we are not gardening experts. We are basically amateur gardeners sharing what we learn and how we learn it and all of the mistakes that we make on our gardening journey. So today we are bringing you a special late winter episode. We've gone away for so long and we're back. We have big news. We are very excited to announce that Leafing Out is back and we are doing an official season of episodes this May through October, talking about everything we're learning, experimenting with, messing up, figuring out in the garden throughout the spring, summer, and fall. So we're excited to talk more in May, but meanwhile, let's dig into what's going on now in late winter, almost spring.
So spring starts on Tuesday, March 19th, but that does not mean that that's when you plant all your plants in the ground or whatever.
Please don't start gardening Tuesday, March 19th.
Don't plant your tomatoes on March 19th.
Please don't do that. If you're doing that, you're probably not listening to this podcast.
That's true. But that does segue into last frost date, which is kind of the critical date to figure out when you should start gardening. And I think I'm going to get the number correct here. I believe that after your last frost date, there is a 95% chance of no frost, something like that. So if you have plants that are very frost sensitive, you can plant them, you know, on your last frost date or maybe like a couple days after, tomatoes, peppers, that sort of thing. And you can pretty much be guaranteed that they won't be killed by frost.
This is why a lot of people say, oh, I don't plant anything until Mother's Day weekend. Because Mother's Day is a little bit after our last frost date here in the Northeast. Basically, like if you put a head of lettuce in your freezer, and you took it out after 24 hours and it would be all kind of like melty and slushy and disgusting. That's what happens to all of your tender plants if you plant and then frost hits them. So let's not do that to ourselves. Let's not make that mistake, which I have made every year, by the way. I always can't help myself. And I'm like, it'll be fine. It's so warm. It's so nice. And then we have a frost and everything looks like garbage. But do as I say, not as I do.
And lots of stuff can go out early. You can plant, you know, your peas, whatever. But
Tell us about things you can plant before your last frost
date. Yeah, I'm not that good at this. Obviously, this is kind of a tangent, but you would plant your bulbs in the fall. Lettuce is an interesting one because a lot of greens you can plant out pretty early. I wouldn't plant them out, you know, now, but maybe end of March. Hardy Asian greens, parsley.
What about spinach? Can we plant spinach?
Yeah, spinach is made sweeter. Spinach and kale are made sweeter by a light frost. They will still be killed by, you know, if you planted them in February or something and you got some hard frost, they would definitely die. But just a little dusting of frost, they do just fine with.
So for now, here we are in early March. And one thing that I've been observing that's pretty fun this time of year is, you know, you look outside and everything still seems the same as it kind of did in January for the most part. We have like a couple of snowdrops popping up and our witch hazel tree is blooming, which is always such a nice kind of like very early spring, but it's happening, spring will come kind of sign. But you know what I noticed today is our house plants, a few of our house plants are putting up some new growth after being dormant, which, you know, they're house plants, they're not outside, they're not responding to the cold winter weather. But what they do react to is the amount of sunlight in the day. The number of hours of sunlight dictates to your house plants when to go dormant and then when to wake up. And they wake up for spring, just like everything outside does. And at this point in March, we have so much more sunlight than we did on December 21st at the winter solstice. Is that the right date for the winter solstice? Oh my God, I'm so impressed that I just pulled that out.
And much more intense light also. It's duration and intensity.
So the house plants are getting a little like greenhouse vibe and they're like, yeah, I'm protected from the frost. Cool. But like, look at all this sunshine we're having. I'm alive. I'm awake. So I was Googling, Gabe, what we should talk about on this episode, and I Googled, what do gardeners do in winter?
What do real gardeners do in winter?
What do real gardeners, not us, do in winter? The first thing that came up, which I kind of was planning on talking about, planning. Winter is the time to plan. If you haven't been planning what you're going to do in the garden this spring, summer, do it now. Now's the time. Because that's your insurance against getting impulsive and making some expensive mistakes at the nursery this spring. So you want to be looking at your garden and go back and look at pictures from last spring and summer and think like, what did I want to put in that one spot? Or like, oh, that plant that I thought was going to be great in that spot, that didn't work at all. Or what kind of like infrastructure projects did I want to take on? Like setting up some in-ground kind of like watering systems or anything like that. Now's the time to make all of those kind of plans that you can then execute without getting all kind of disorganized when spring comes along. There's so much to do.
I'm really good / bad at going to the nursery and seeing all these little tiny plants and being like, oh, they're so tiny, I'll just put them all in the garden next to each other.
Completely.
And so looking at that photo from August and being like, oh yeah, I actually need like one plant, not five plants for that spot is very helpful for me.
Three of one plant, not one of seven different plants, one each of seven different types of plants. Think about where you might, if you're building your garden, add a group of three somewhere, or a group of five, or expand a group of three that worked really well into like a group of seven, where you kind of can create this like drift of plants and start getting kind of painterly with the effect. Now is a great time to do all that kind of plant planning. And then now is the time also to start looking at your nurseries and looking at what plant lists they have and figuring out where you're going to source those four more plants that you need or whatever it is. You know what's another thing that we're doing as gardeners in winter that I didn't really think about this way until I looked at it? Composting. We've been composting all our stuff all winter. I mean, doing as good a job of it as we can most of the time. And it's just nice to think about that as like an act of gardening that you're doing in winter that you're going to make good use of pretty soon. And then the other thing we're doing in winter is starting to order seeds. So Gabe, maybe you can talk about ordering seeds. And I guess if we're going to talk about ordering seeds, you got to start with talking about like, what do we do with seeds? Are we starting our seeds indoors? Are we doing what's called direct sowing our seeds? It's so fun to look at websites and look at all the pictures of all the vegetables and flowers and everything. Order a million seed packets and our house is like littered with seed packets. But what's our plan with ordering? When we're ordering seeds, like what are we planning to do?
Well, the pendulum of my seed life has really swung back and forth. There have definitely been winters when, or springs or summers when I have like done no planning and I just kind of like grab a bunch of seeds at Home Depot and I'm like throwing them in the ground and that's not great. There have been other winters where I'm like, oh, like I can't wait to get in the garden. I'm going to start my seeds in February. And like that is also not great. So this is the most boring advice ever, but it really does pay to just like read the instructions. So the question of direct sowing, transplanting.
What is direct sowing?
Great question. So direct sowing is when you're just taking your seeds and you're planting them in the garden where you want them to grow, as opposed to starting your seeds indoors in a window or under a light, grow light, then transplanting them later on. So there are a few things to think about. One, there are a bunch of plants that need a longer growing season than you might have in your zone. So for example, where we are in New England, tomatoes really need a longer growing season than what we have. So if, you know, they're very frost sensitive, if you took your tomato seeds, planted them in the ground in May, you might get a small tomato crop in kind of mid-September or something, but you really want to be starting those 6 to 8 weeks before your last frost date. So
indoors,
you want to be starting those plants indoors. And the alternative is you just go and buy the plants. If you feel like if seed starting isn't something that you want to take on, definitely it's not a requirement at all. But just to kind of back up that point of like, it really is kind of plant specific what you want to be doing. There are other plants where, you know, like, I don't know, peas, they don't transplant that well. They have a taproot, it's called, where it's like a central.
Like a carrot, exactly. The carrot that you eat, that's a taproot.
Yeah. So you can't, it's really hard to transplant something like a carrot without damaging that taproot. And if that taproot is damaged at all, like even just sort of overly jostled, the plant won't grow. So carrots, you don't go to the store and find carrot plants, and you always want to direct seed something like that.
Right. So all of that stuff is going to be direct sow because You can't move it. You have to plant it where you want it to grow. You cannot move the little plant start. So like when you're looking at seeds, you need to really consider what kind of gardening you want to be doing and say, okay, do I want to start seeds indoors or do I only want to grow stuff that I can direct sow? And if I do want to start stuff indoors, am I trying to start stuff indoors for just a couple weeks and then, you know, get stuff going early? Like what kind of commitment am I taking on? What kind of spots in my house do I have? Like, what am I willing to do here? These are good questions to ask before you order 30 different seed packets and then read the instructions on all of them and realize that you've signed up for like five different methods of seed starting, seed gardening.
And on that same topic of do as I say, not as I do, it's also important when you're seed starting to think not about how much space you need to start the seeds, but how much space you're going to need for that plant when it's just about to go outside. So yes. Again, returning to tomatoes, you know, you get some tray that's like 6x6 and it's like 36 little things. And you're like, oh, great, I'm going to do a whole bunch of tomatoes in here. Well, in 2 weeks, those tomatoes will be totally maxed out, root bound. You're going to need a bigger pot. You may not have room for 36 4-inch pots in your windowsill or whatever. So think about that.
How much vertical height do you have also? Because we have mm-hmm. this garden window that is so wonderful. And I really like, I've always wanted to have one. I'm so excited about it. And so Gabe put all of our starts in that window and it was so cool. And then it works so well as a little greenhouse. They get so much light. The plants started getting enormous. So tall that they were hitting the roof of the garden window really quickly. And we still had like 3 more weeks of frost outside before we could put them outside. And no other window has enough light to keep the plants going. So we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
But I'm going to jump ahead to where to buy seeds.
That's a good idea. Please cut me off.
So a couple of my favorites are Fedco, High Mowing, Prairie Moon Nursery, and Johnny's.
We'll put all of this in the show notes too. I'll
put that in the show notes for sure. Kind of an obvious point, but shipping is not super cheap necessarily. So on the topic of planning, it's helpful to kind of like make your list of plants, look at which place or places have those and try and, you know, do one order. Again, I have done the opposite and somehow found myself doing 4 different orders from the same darn seed place, and it's very frustrating.
So let's get to the fun stuff. What are you ordering? What are we growing from seed?
Yeah, let me just jump. Let me make one other point about seeds, just as an intro. Seeds do have a date on them. It'll be the date that they are sort of guaranteed good for, where if they have a germination rate of 90% or something, it's kind of the company saying, like, you know, you bought them in 2024, they're going to have a 90% germination rate.
And that means like 9 out of 10 of the seeds in the packet are guaranteed to germinate.
Mm-hmm. As time goes on, and this is somewhat plant specific, the germination rate will drop. But say you have like some big packet of arugula, arugula seeds will last for years. So just because a seed packet is from last year, depending on what that plant is, you know, now if it's like some super fancy hybrid tomato and you got 3 seeds and you really want to make sure you have that plant, maybe you want to buy 2 new tomato seeds. But if you have leftover seeds that you're just kind of like, oh, there's a bunch of greens, like it's definitely worth throwing them in the garden.
Yeah. Or just like do a quick Google of like arugula mm-hmm. seeds. How long do they last?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, another good source for seeds, if you're interested in native gardening, which everybody should be interested at least in native gardening a little bit, because this is native gardening is also like ecological gardening. Native Plant Gardening on Reddit has a source list for native seeds. They have like a wiki index for all of the best places to buy native plant seeds by location. Google like Reddit Native Plant Gardening. You can find their index of seed sources. If you just want the classic native red columbine that is the one that's going to draw the hummingbirds to your yard, which is really cool, you might need to look for a place that sells native seeds.
You were asking me about what we're starting from seed.
Oh, yeah. What else are we starting from seed?
Let's see.
So we talked about that.
Yeah, we're always starting tomatoes. We're doing that.
But we're starting our own tomatoes because we want to get those really good sun gold tomato plants that are so wonderful and hard to sometimes find the plant starts, but you can get the seeds. So that's what we're doing. But they're a little tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
Tomato seedlings.
Yeah. They can be, I would say, an intermediate, maybe.
They're not like the one of all plants to start with if you're starting growing from seed.
Yeah, I think that if you're starting out growing from seed, I would start with some kind of green, whether it's like a herb, you know, like parsley or cilantro, something like that, or lettuces. You get a ton of seed. The seed is tiny. It's really cheap for, you know, a packet will have like hundreds of seeds in it. You can just get yourself a pot, throw a bunch of seeds in there, put it in a window. You'll get a ton of little plant starts. They're pretty easy to separate, even if the roots are tangled and you kind of rip them, most of them will survive. And then the other thing that I'm starting from seed this year as a bit of an experiment is grass, because we have been really bad at watering our lawn, which is a low water lawn, but we have pushed it past its breaking point.
We didn't know, and we fucked up.
And we've had, as the lawn has kind of died off, we have this weed called couch grass, which some people plant as a lawn, but it's like a very sort of bright green. It looks a little bit like crabgrass.
It looks a lot like crabgrass.
It's a lot like crabgrass.
Some of us have argued over whether it's crabgrass or not.
Yeah. Anyway, so I am kind of like raking out all the old stuff and pulling it out and doing grass plugs. And that leads me to my one other favorite source for seeds, which is ProTime Lawn Seed. They're in, I believe, Oregon or Washington State, but they have a really great selection of eco-friendly lawn seeds. So they have like a dog park mix. So if you have a dog that you're letting out in your yard, you know, they have something for that. If you want lots of blooms, you know, they have a mix that is what we started with that has like daisies and clover and stuff. All of them are water efficient, low mow for the most part. You don't have to be out there mowing all the time.
You do need to water though.
You do have to water sometimes.
Low water efficient does not mean you don't have to water.
Yeah,
as we learned for the first like 2 years, it was incredible carpet of clover and little tiny white daisies, and our babies were like crawling around in the clover and the daisies. So cute and wonderful and like different than just a lawn that is just grass that you have to mow all the time and water like crazy and potentially use weed killer on, which we should have a whole nother like special episode where we just talk shit about weed killer.
Mm-hmm. This is like 30-second version. Everybody's seen, not everybody, but seems like the conversation around glyphosate is, you know, people know it's like really bad, whatever.
Glyphosate is the chemical word. What do you actually mean?
Yeah, sorry, Roundup. So glyphosate is that's the active ingredient in Roundup. Really bad.
Don't use it.
Don't use that. But that is, I think people have a certain awareness of that. But anything that's labeled like a weed and feed or like a lawn herbicide, basically that is a broadleaf weed killer, so it won't kill your grass, but it'll kill anything that has like a leaf, a clover or a yarrow or anything, also tied to all sorts of health problems.
You don't want to use these things on areas where you're going to be like mowing the grass and then inhaling it. So we love these other alternatives for some like cooler lawn options that also are going to, if you water it, not make you feel like you need to use any of those weed killers. Oh, real quick. Also, I just wanted to shout out like what else to watch out for when you're shopping for seeds. You also probably might not want to get seeds for plants that are like perennials, where you need to really grow that plant for a long time before it flowers or produces fruit or whatever. Fruit meaning like tomatoes, for example. People are happy to sell you seeds for anything. And there are some seeds that you can buy. And
blue
then
Japanese blue, maples.
That's, yes, I've seen those. The blue, purple, unicorn-leaved Japanese maples. Yeah, that's not real. That shit's not real. But if you like look in the fine print at some seeds, it'll say like, oh, this actually flowers in its second year. And it grows like only this much the first year. And you might not have the patience for that. You might want to just stick to the stuff that's really going to be rewarding to grow from seed that season. It produces for you. It does what you were hoping.
Can you think of any common examples?
Lavender is a good example. Look, no shade to people growing lavender from seed. Wonderful. But for folks like us who have limited amount of space and time and energy in our day, like, buy a little lavender plant and buy cilantro seeds.
Not to belabor the point, but I would say that anything that falls into that even sub-shrub category, which is how I would categorize lavender, something that, you know, it's not a shrub like a rhododendron, but it is like a good-sized woody perennial plant.
Yeah.
Unless you're like really going hard, get that as a plant.
Yeah, because that stuff grows a little slower.
Grows slowly.
If you want to enjoy it 5 years from now and have a cool science experiment, definitely do the seeds. If you want it to like look great in your garden, maybe not this year, but next year, and be starting to approach its full size, like 2 or 3 years from now. Yeah, buy the plant. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a question that you want answered on the podcast, you can email us or send us a voice memo at leafingoutpod@gmail.com. You can also just DM us on Instagram, which we're all better at these days, I think, than answering email, right? We're at leafingoutpod on Instagram. We really love hearing from you. Please chat with us. And it would also do us a huge favor if you could rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Happy gardening. See you out there.